Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this program via remote. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Thursday, September 8, 2022. President Salva Kiir says a peaceful jungle state could provide good learning environment for students.
It will also allow the government to dedicate limited resources to important projects.
And the UN says climate crisis is forcing families to take refuge in the Horn of Africa.
For us, it's not only about life saving. Life saving is critical, and we need that support now for immediate support.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. President Salva Kiir is urging the communities in Jonglei State to embrace peace and unity to address intercommunal violence. Mr. Kiir says forgiveness could make Jonglei State conducive for education and development. The president was speaking Thursday during the inauguration of 10 lecture halls at Dr. John Garang Memorial University of Science and Technology in Bor. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
Speaking at the inauguration of a complex consisting of 10 lecture halls for the John Garang Memorial University of Science and Technology, President Kiir told residents that forgiveness and putting past communal differences behind them will not only make Jonglei State conducive for education, but will make room for more development projects.
I'm calling upon you and all the citizens of Jonglei to remain united. Your unity will bring genuine coexistence among yourselves. It will eradicate intercommunal fighting, which is threatening to erode the gains we have made in the implementation of the revitalized peace agreement. It will also allow the government to dedicate limited resources to important projects.
President Kiir says communities in the state should also embrace peaceful coexistence with their neighboring communities.
I want you to demonstrate this unity by opening peace corridors with your neighboring countries and stay united and help us in our efforts to exit permanently from the cycle of violence that has characterized this country for a very long time.
Kiir says the government is aware of the threat caused by the floods, which have been affecting people in Jonglei and other parts of the country. He says the government is working on a solution that will balance flood control and wetlands protection.
We are aware of the threat posed by the floods that has been affecting you here in Jonglei and other areas in South Sudan. To address this recurrent issue of floods, your government, through the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, is working on a solution that will balance flood control and wetland protection.
Professor Abraham Matoch, the Vice Chancellor of Dr. John Garang Memorial University of Science and Technology, praised the President for officiating the inauguration of the university's new building.
Dr. John Garang University is the pride of our country. In history, Dr. John Garang is a great name in South Sudan, in Africa, and the world at large. And great things must be done in his honor and memory. Your Excellency, on behalf of the entire family of Dr. John Garang University, we are thankful and happy with Your Excellency for having honored our invitation to officiate the inauguration of the triple complex building constructed by the university.
In 2019, the government awarded a $1 billion contract to the South Sudanese company Interteco to construct the Dr. John Garang Memorial University of Science and Technology into a world-class university. No permanent buildings have been constructed on campus since the university was established in February 2007. administration offices and lecture rooms were made of shipping containers and prepubs. Efforts to reach Alimo Florence, Interteco's managing director, for comments were not successful as her contact information did not go through. The office of the president signed the contract with the company in 2019, according to Florence, which means the payment should come from the office of the president. Abraham Matoch, the vice chancellor at the John Garang University, says the company did not receive enough money to proceed with the construction of the university.
I contacted with them and he died down. The bank proved that they didn't have money, so they didn't go ahead. Yeah, but now I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to pick it up now at the level of the government.
The building, consisting of 10 lecture halls, was constructed with local university-generated funds. Construction cost more than 851,000 South Sudanese pounds, the equivalent to a little over $2.1 million. The Garang Memorial University of Science and Technology was established as an institute in 2008 and upgraded into a public university in 2010 by presidential order. It has 841 students, about 7% are females. The university grants diplomas and degrees through its 5 colleges of agriculture, education, environmental studies, management science, and technology. It also has 1 institute for fisheries and a new graduate college for scientific research established in 2019 to award postgraduate diplomas, masters, and PhDs. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Bor.
Malawi's president has ordered the Reserve Bank of Malawi to prioritize buying fuel in any foreign currency the country can secure to deal with fuel shortage. The shortage has forced Malawi's drivers to wait for hours in line or buy fuel smuggled from neighboring Mozambique. Lamek Masina reports from Blantyre, Malawi.
The scarcity of fuel in Malawi is largely attributed to a shortage of foreign exchange, especially US dollars. The shortage has forced Malawi's drivers to wait hours in line, sometimes overnight, or purchase fuel illegally smuggled from Mozambique. The problem is more rampant in central and northern Malawi, where many pump stations have run dry for weeks. Clement Chinoko is a journalist working for the Daily Nation newspaper in the capital, Lilongwe, where fuel remains in short supply.
It has been a hassle. The last time I fueled, I had to wait for about 3 hours in Lilongwe city center. This is the main business area of the capital city. That was 3 days ago, and today I am back on the queue as well, hoping that I'm going to get serviced.
Another motorist, Matilda Chwambo from Blanta, says she had to abandon her car on her way to northern Malawi.
I was supposed to be in a meeting in Nzuzu yesterday, that's Wednesday. But until now, I'm in Salima. I'm stuck because there is no fuel. I'm trying to board a public bus, but I've also noted that the bus fare have increased. So the situation is just so, so frustrating. I'm so angry right now.
Malawi President Lazarus Chakwera said Wednesday the government is taking steps to improve the fuel supply.
I know that the current shortage of fuel is adversely affecting manufacturing, businesses, work, and domestic life. And I want to assure you that we are seized of this matter to ensure that there is product in the service stations in the short term while we work on the long-term forex issues that are at the root of this problem.
Malawi obtains most of its foreign exchange earnings from tobacco. However, statistics from the Auction Holdings Limited show that this year tobacco crop raked in $182 million compared to $197 million last year, a decrease of 7.7%. Fuel company Petroleum Importers Limited told reporters this week that it is struggling to bring in fuel because it lacks the $22 million in foreign currency required each month. President Chakwera said the government is working with banks to acquire the needed funds.
We have therefore already secured $28 million from local banks for this purpose, and we are in pursuit of another $50 million facility for the same. on top of instructions the Reserve Bank has received to prioritize fuel procurement in the allocation of any forex we secure.
The president said imports have resumed and the country is tapping its reserves.
So as we speak, we have over 6 million liters being brought into the country, while at the same time, we have doubled the daily distribution of the product we already have in our reserves to ease the burden.
Motorists like Chinoku and Chiwambo hope the government can find a long-term solution like increasing export base to curb the shortage of foreign exchange. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Blantyre, Malawi.
The United Nations Children's Fund, UNICEF, and the World Food Programme launched a joint programme to strengthen social cohesion among communities in Darfur. WFP officials say the programme could provide long-term solutions by tackling underlying barriers to peace and development for nearly 300,000 Sudanese in Darfur. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
UNICEF and the World Food Programme say the initiative takes a holistic and inclusive approach that will enable communities to better withstand multiple shocks and plant the seeds for a peaceful coexistence among diverse populations who have been adversely affected by conflict and economic downturns in South, Central, and North Darfur states. The joint statement said the program underscores the German government's commitment to supporting Darfuri communities affected by multiple crises. Hans-Peter Schwer, senior policy advisor from the German Federal Ministry for Economic Cooperation and Development, said UNICEF and WFP working together will ensure that people benefit from a comprehensive, integrated package of essential services, but added, quote, while the German government supports direct assistance to the communities, cooperation with the government of Sudan remains paused. To re-establish cooperation, Schwer said, Germany believes in an inclusive political settlement and the restoration of a credible transition remain urgent. Speaking to South Sudan in Focus in Khartoum, WFP communications team leader Lenny Kinsley says the program will be implemented in North, South, and Central Darfur and will include internally displaced persons, returnees, and host communities.
This program strives to create sustainable food systems, increase communities' access to integrated basic social services, strengthen systems at the local level to improve service delivery, and enhance community-based networks to reconcile local conflicts and build trust through inclusive social dialogue.
In late April, Sudan's military deployed more troops to West Darfur State to help stop tribal fighting that claimed the lives of more than 175 people over a five-day period. In mid-June, clashes in West Darfur State between Arab and non-Arab groups killed more than 100 people. Kinsley says the new program will help ensure vulnerable families don't slip further into hunger and can take part in ways to overcome underlying challenges to peace building and stability in their communities.
Communities in the Darfur region continue to experience setbacks due to natural disasters such as floods and prolonged dry spells, in addition to violent conflict. These shocks have worsened the food security of families and limited access to basic services. Competition over resources and services shared by host communities, returnees, and IDPs exacerbates these challenges.
Mandeep O'Brien, UNICEF's representative in Sudan, praised Germany for its financial support that will complement their humanitarian development and peace programs in the Darfur region. O'Brien says increasing access for vulnerable children, young people and their community members to quality health, nutrition and education will contribute to fostering healthier, more productive communities for the future. Adam Rijal, a spokesperson for the coordination of the internally displaced persons and refugees in Darfur, tells South Sudan in Focus via a messaging application from Zalinje in Central Darfur State that he doubts local communities will ever benefit from the program.
The WFP has not distributed food rations to our people in the camps for over 3 months now. Until this moment, there is no clear and convincing reason as to why they have not been doing so.
WFP and UNICEF officials say this is a critical time in Sudan's history. The officials say multi-year funding for long-term programs that empower ownership to local communities is key to the transition from short-term humanitarian assistance towards lasting solution and sustainable development. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, Africa's climate crisis. Stay tuned for that story after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is the best advice you have ever gotten?
I got an advice from my mom. She encouraged me to work hard. That she told me, and a very successful woman is a very hardworking woman.
The great one I can remember is the one my father gave to me to study hard. Actually, he was on his, I can say, maybe a deathbed. He was so ill. He had a stroke and he was so helpless. He couldn't do anything for me. That was the last day I even saw him. It was like, my son, study hard.
Is from my father. He has always told me that I shouldn't be afraid to learn new things and to take up new challenges, because he said that you're only afraid to take up new challenges when you haven't tried it.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
The UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR, warns the displacement crisis in the Horn of Africa and Sahel is getting worse as the impact of climate change and conflict are forcing people to flee in search of safety and humanitarian assistance. Lisa Schlein has more for VOA from Geneva.
On the African continent, climate shocks like floods and droughts are becoming more frequent and intense. Millions of people in Somalia and Ethiopia are struggling to find enough food, water, and income to survive 4 consecutive years of drought. Faced with this reality, the UN Refugee Agency says it is employing relief strategies to be better able to adapt to the new risks posed by climate change. The UNHCR representative in Somalia, Magat Gis, says Somalia is on the verge of a catastrophic famine. To help those most in need, he says his agency is setting up humanitarian hubs close to the most affected areas. He says helicopters will be used to transport staff and to deliver assistance.
But other ideas also is to explore other options to link with community elders and any other actors in the community which can help to reach the person affected in those areas. This is part of our strategy, and it's ongoing.
The UNHCR representative in Ethiopia, Mamadou Dian Bald, says 8 million people out of 20 million needing humanitarian assistance are affected by the ravages of climate change and insecurity.
People who are already vulnerable because of lack of food and water. And then if for accessing energy, you need to walk and move from one place to another. For us, it's not only about life saving. Life saving is critical, and we need that support now for immediate support. But we also need to help them build resilience so that we can also get out of that perpetual request for support.
Unlike the drought-stricken Horn of Africa, heavy rains have inundated Burkina Faso. It has brought new misery to a country that has one of the world's fastest-growing displacement crises. UNHCR representative in Burkina Faso, Abdourauf Non-Konde, says attacks by armed groups have displaced 10% of the population, or 2 million people. He says the heavy rains have destroyed people's homes and property and sent even more people fleeing.
And for us, one of the clear response that we are providing is to make sure that at least in all these urban centers where most of them are living, to make sure that the shelter response that we are providing is somehow you know, compatible with the climate conditions.
The UNHCR is appealing for funds to finance the technological support needed to avert, mitigate, and tackle the displacement related to the adverse effects of extreme weather events. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Kenya's National Assembly and Senate are holding their first ever sitting since elections were held last month. The two houses are swearing in members and voting for speakers and their deputies to begin their official work. Yesterday, leaders from the Kenya Kwanza Alliance and the Azimio la Umoja, One Kenya Coalition, met the elected leaders. For VOA News, Maureen Ojiambo reports from Nairobi.
Leaders from the Kenya Kwanza Alliance and those from Azimio la Umoja One Kenya Coalition met elected leaders from their respective blocs, asking them to vote wisely while electing speakers of both the National Assembly and the Senate. In most cases, members, especially the independent ones as well as those allied to coalitions, are bribed by their opponents to vote for a certain choice. Speaking in Nairobi during a coalition meeting, President-elect William Ruto asked the leaders to be vigilant since some may be intimidated by the state and his team may lose.
We are competing with a very desperate team. I just want to let you know, as members of parliament here, we have a good margin of about 11 members in the National Assembly. We have other members who are not sitting here, but they will vote for us. Maybe possibly another 15 or so, but maybe towards 20. So we will have a bigger margin in parliament, but let us not take anything for granted.
Ruto says they must ensure they take control of both the Senate and the National Assembly. Ruto has cautioned his team against any advances from their opponents.
People who can use a National Security Advisory Committee to try and overturn the will of the people, they can do worse. They are very desperate to have the Speaker of either House. So I want to ask you for today and tomorrow, please be careful. They could even possibly arrest some of you people just to reduce our numbers.
On the other hand, President Uhuru Kenyatta and former Prime Minister Raila Odinga led the Azimio la Umoja One Kenya Coalition. But they, however, left the meeting without addressing the press. In a statement, Kenyatta said, and I quote, "I will hand over power smiling because it's my constitutional duty. But my leader is Raila. You denied yourself an opportunity to bring the country together. You haven't denied Raila." End of quote. Narok Senator Ledama Olekina has, however, castigated the leaders from the Azimio coalition who joined Ruto's camp.
Any leader who was elected under Azimio and is now joining Ruto, William Ruto in his Kenya Kwanza, is a person who is for cheap.
The two coalitions are fighting to have the control of both the National Assembly and the Senate. So far, Azimio has a majority in the National Assembly with 168 members of parliament against Kenya Kwanza 158 members of parliament. The numbers are, however, without the 12 nominated members in the Assembly, as the electoral body has not yet gazetted them. In the Senate, however, Kenya Kwanza will have the majority with its 24 senators compared to 22 for Azimio. Reporting for viewers, I am Maureen Ojiambo in Nairobi, Kenya.
Gambia's health ministry says 28 children died of acute kidney injury in August. The ministry said in a statement its investigation revealed that the possible cause are E. coli and toxicity from paracetamol syrup used to treat fever and pain in children and adults.
The ministry issued a press release to share their findings about the mass deaths. In it, they are saying that the possible causes are E. coli, which are bacteria normally found in the environment, in foods and in the intestines of peoples and animals, and also the possible toxicity of syrup paracetamol. As a result, the ministry has moved to suspend all syrup paracetamol until further notice, they said in their press release. The ministry also said that investigations are still ongoing.
What are the ordinary Gambians saying about this outbreak?
people are also calling out the government for their lack of urgency in handling issues like this and for not investing in resources in the healthcare sector. The samples had to be taken all the way to Senegal for testing because the Gambia simply does not have the resources to do so. And I think these have angered a lot of Gambians.
We understand, Sajo, that the ordinary Gambian might be thinking that this outbreak might be the result of other causes, including sanitation. What can you tell us about this?
Yes, some are linking this to a recent public health scandal after the Gambia's Food Safety and Quality Authority confirmed that fishmongers are using a deadly insecticide called Sniper to preserve fish. So generally, the quality of food in Gambian markets is being questioned once more.
That's reporter Sajo Brito in the Gambian capital, Banjul. He spoke with my colleague, James Batty.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
And that's all we prepared for you this Thursday. Don't forget to check out voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. And for world news, go to voanews.com. If you missed this broadcast, go to voanews.com/South Sudan. We now leave you with the song Susanna.
That's Susanna. This is for you. Can I medicate a hand Kenny disease?
Susanna, mama.
Cornerstone music, baby. 2016.
Another one and only.
That's Susanna.
Papa take if you win, Susanna baby.
Susanna mama.
Another you na kum. One and only.
That's Susanna.
Papa take if you win, Susanna baby.
Susanna mama.
Susanna. Killing na worry le inti na kupenda. Ya kwana ana mabisibu Susanna. Aizaman ana mahak baby Susanna. I love you, I need you dear. Sema ana asma sota fi radio. Ana zatu ainu inti fi video. Susanna mafika lam ana vihibu inti. Sala zaman sekete au kamanjian. Susanna ana dairu na kun one and only.
That's Susanna.
Papa if you win Susanna baby.
Susanna mama
ana dairu na kun.
We have been listening to the song Susanna. I'm your host, John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your homes, phones, and vehicles. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Susanna, you're the one that makes my heart and body scatter. Susanna, give me your heart, I'll keep you strong like a spatter. My sweet baby, wait till I'm a muhabade. Another she look into man, I feel better. I wanna take you right now, not later. Me and my Susanna, I feel better. Susanna, give me your loving. Susanna, give me your loving.
Another you na kun, one and only.
That's Susanna.
Papa take you if you win, Susanna baby.
Susanna Mama. Ana deiru na kum one and only. That's Susanna. Papa, take it away, Susanna baby.